You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. I have time for a quick 60-second opening here today. You are going to hear today the last part of this sermon that's been playing this week entitled Moses Walks to His Own Funeral. It's a look at what happened to Moses. What happened to Moses? What grave sin did he commit that God barred him from entering the promised land? That's what we're going to look at here today on part three. We'll be back with the book of Acts. On Wednesday nights at Island, we just started a brand new study in the book of Revelation. We're still in chapter one. You are invited. That's this coming Wednesday, and every Wednesday night from 6 to around 7:15. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. 6 to 7:15 on Wednesday. Sunday, we're in the book of Ephesians. We are picking it up in chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, this Sunday morning at 10:30. But we would love to see you out on Wednesdays for this Revelation Bible study. We're going through the entire book, verse by verse, going slow. I invite you to come out to Island on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Love to see you. And now here is the last part of this message. Moses walks to his own funeral.
Samuel the prophet likened disobedience to witchcraft. So this is the first thing. His first serious transgression. He disobeyed a direct commandment from the Lord. Number two, he says, must we? What do you mean we? Since when is this you providing out of the rock? Since when is this you providing water out of the stone? Who died and made you God? Moses? Moses takes credit for this. Number three, he struck the rock when he was explicitly instructed to speak to it. Transgression number four, not only did he strike the rock, he did it twice, putting the emphasis on him. He stole all of God's glory by doing this. Number five, Moses committed this sin in front of all of Israel. A verse comes to mind for me personally, one that I seriously take to heart. It says this, it's out of Luke chapter 12, verse 48. It says, to whom much is given, finish that for me. Much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. Verse 12, then the Lord spoke to Moses and said, because you did not believe me. All right, there's another one we can add to this list then. Number six, unbelief. I don't quite see unbelief in that, but that's what God calls it. What do I know? God calls what Moses did unbelief. So we'll go with what he says, right? Because you did not believe me, to hallow me, hallow means sanctify. Sanctify means, same word for saint, means to set apart, or someone that is set apart. Hallowed be thy name. Because you did not believe me, to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you will not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the waters, verse 13, Numbers 20, verse 13. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Yeah, by hook or by crook, he certainly was hallowed, wasn't he? Notice again, the contention again, the blaspheming and the contentions and the lack of faith in this horrendous thing that they did, all was because they'd gone a couple of days without some water. When the two witnesses are around, 1,260 days, by the way, on a Hebrew calendar of 360 days, is 3.5 years. 3.5 years with no water. And then it says, and he has power to turn all the waters into blood. Not only no rain for 3.5 years, but every place where they go and dip these bottles and fill them, that water is going to be turned to blood. How well's your faith? How well's your trust? Do you trust God to see you through? If you're around during this time, do you trust God? I don't know when the rapture is. I am a firm believer of I don't know. You can come here on a Wednesday night. I can prove to every one of you. I can prove to you through the Word of God, pre-trib, mid-trib, and post. I can prove all of them through the Word. Therefore, you've got what's called a gray area. Guess what? I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I don't know. Are you ready to go with him through the fire? How's your faith? Do you know how you get through the fire? Do you know what God is doing to prepare you for that? I'll tell you what. He's making your life difficult. He's making your life difficult. God prepares you to go through the fire by making your life difficult. Which is why James said, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Knowing that, meaning it's not all for nothing. There's a purpose behind it. The testing of your faith produces patience, experience, endurance. Comes through perseverance in the trial. To give you a heart like this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who said, our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we're still not going to bow a knee. How do you do that? Man, that comes through perseverance under trial in your life. Amen? Anyone here know what I'm talking about? Has God delivered you from some personal trial in your life? Then if the answer to that is yes, are you going to trust him the next time you got a trial in your life regarding the same thing? I've seen once at our radio station, someone came to me on December 31st, gave me a check for $40,000 and says, this is the money that you need. What do you think I do the next year when we're struggling for money? I've got great peace. I worry about nothing. God's on the throne. He's got my back. He's going to deliver us. He will come through. Usually, it's in the midnight hour. He's seldom early, but he's never late. Where am I? The Lord spoke to Moses and says, because you did not believe me to hallow my name, therefore you will not bring this assembly into the land. Again, like I said before, in a sense, this is Moses crucifying the Son of God again. As this time, the rock was supposed to be spoken to, but here it was struck. I found this comment here that I liked. It says, this may seem an excessively harsh punishment for Moses. After all, with only one slip up, he must now die short of the promised land. Right? It's awful harsh, isn't it? Anyone here ever fall a little bit, miss the mark once? Imagine if God treated you. Imagine if God treated me the same way he did Moses. How about you, Eric? Ever missed the mark before? Ever let God down before? Once? Not twice, right? Imagine that. Moses was being judged by a stricter standard because of his leadership position with the nation and because he had a uniquely close relationship with God. Listen to this verse. James chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "My brethren, let not many of you become any teachers in here? There's two. There's three. Pray for the teachers here in this church. I encourage you, keep them in your prayers. They need your prayers. Teachers need your prayers. They need your prayers to be bold, to stand up in the face of evil. Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment." That's what the word says. Teachers and leaders are judged by a stricter standard. Now, God killed David and Bathsheba's first child as well, because they put egg on God's face. To whom more is due, much is given, much is required. Much was required of Moses. He did this in front of all Israel. Now, on several different occasions, Moses tried to get God to change his mind. Here's Deuteronomy 3. It says, "I pleaded with the Lord, saying, Oh, Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray thee, let me cross over and see this good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account, and he would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, Enough of that! Speak no more to me of this matter." He sure was sore with Moses over this, wasn't he? Also, verse 27, he says, "Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes towards the west, the north, and the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you will not cross over this Jordan." And Numbers 27, verse 12, Moses gets his marching orders. The Lord said to Moses, "Get up into this Mount Abarim and see the land which I have now given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also will be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my commandment to hallow me at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin." Now, Deuteronomy 34, last place we're going here. Moses walks to his own funeral. Now, Moses climbs up Mount Nebo. He's all alone. Not even his trusted servant Joshua was with him. Alone he climbed. Alone he gazed out. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.